siempre, siempre pura vida.
Show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. All right, today I have from when I was at Radio Free Cascadia, Tom Musselwhite from 96 on the homeless issue. He's the he was the treasurer of the Homeless Coalition. Back then they were working on the homeless plan, which we didn't have a homeless plan. We have one now. It's to just run people out of the city. So at least they're acknowledging that, and they have a plan. Before, we didn't even have a plan. So and you'll see that 25 years ago, things have barely changed at all. And a couple of announcements. There's a movie and discussion sponsored by the Industrial Workers of the World. What Would Jesus Buy? On December 4th, 7 p.m., McNeil Riley House, 601 West 13th here in Eugene. That's Wednesday, December 4th, 7 p.m. at McNeil Riley House. What Would Jesus Buy? And then, let's see... for you homeless out there, new volunteers, mark your calendars. Orientation and training sessions are planned for, this is for the Egan Warming Center. They're looking for volunteers, and there's a training on Saturday, December 7th, 10 a.m. to noon at Trinity United Methodist Church, 440 Maxwell Road, River Road area. That's Saturday, December 7th, 10 a.m. to noon at Trinity Methodist Church if you want to get trained to help the homeless. All right, so coming up, like I say, Tom Musselwhite. I'm going to give you, I'm going to link deforestation to war here, briefly. Coming up here on Talk is Cheap at KEPW LP 97.3, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, streaming online at kepw.org. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Coming up, Tom Musselwhite. After I link deforestation to war and the homeless. Thank you. All right, the show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Sus D. Anti-corporate stuff, news, and things from a sustainability perspective. Here on KEPW LP 97.3, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Streaming online at kepw.org. All right, so an announcement I forgot was that I just found out about, and you'll probably hear more about this throughout the week, is Fergus McLean will be at World Pies next week at 11 a.m. Fergus McLean talking about forest issues at World Pies at the Revolution Now meeting at World Pies, 11 a.m. next week. Fergus McLean. All right, so we have a victory. And, you know, you hardly hear this. I did hear this on NPR or OPB or whatever it is once in amongst all the falderal on impeachment that they play. That, you know, we won the Valve Turners won their case. I haven't heard anything on that. And so a federal judge has banned logging on a former piece of Elliott State Forest near Coos Bay. The Register Guard reports that Federal Judge Ann Aiken in U.S. District Court in Eugene on Monday issued a preliminary injunction barring Scott Timber Company and Roseburg Forest Products from logging the area while she considers a lawsuit by Eugene-based conservation group. Cascadia Wildlands in August filed the suit claiming Scott Timber and Roseburg could harm the marble murrelette if the companies logged the 355 acres of forest. The marbled murrelette is a small bird that is federally protected. All right, and so what this is the schools fund the schools with the forest. There are designated forest areas that the schools use for their funding. So they were going to cut this to fund the schools. They were going to. This was sold by the schools. So. And the way I'm tying it to war is, and the homeless issues too, this is another example of where federal austerity programs are causing states and cities to shoulder the burden of social justice movements and social welfare. So, for instance, the homeless issues, because there's no they've cut federal funding to fund their unnecessary wars, we have to pay more tax dollars. Local tax dollars have to go to homeless issues. So that not only are they extracting money out of the economy for war, then you have to pay more money for local taxes. So and this is done with the homeless. And again, this is why this is how this relates to cutting the forest. Is you cut the forest for school funding instead of stopping the $1 trillion war budget that we have. All right, so that's my spiel on austerity. We need an anti-war movement. Believe it or not, nothing hurts the environment like war. Just the sonar in the ocean that they use is killing the fish and things like that. All right, so let me play you this real quick. We have a victory, like I say. They stopped them from cutting the forest temporarily, but we got to make sure that the judge holds that ruling. So Cascadia Wildlands, support Cascadia Wildlands, please, and support independent media if you can. So yeah, that's a good thing. When I have good news, I try to tell you good news. So coming up, Tom Musselwhite from 96, the Homeless Coalition, here in Eugene.
With my back to the wall, this monster mouse, he's 10 feet tall, with two antlers to match. It only took one
Radio Free Cascadia.
Okay. All right, Radio Free Cascadia 98.5. I'm talking with Tom Musselwhite, treasurer with the Homeless Coalition. And we're talking about the homeless problem, homeless people, houseless people in Eugene, to use the... And we're trying not to be... We may use the wrong political correctness terms, but bear with us. I'm just trying to open up a dialogue here. Tom, my... First question to you is, why is there no homeless plan in Eugene, and should there be a homeless plan in Eugene?
The homeless plan, there's been numbers of mandates to come up with all sorts of plans. Everything from wetland mitigation plans to restoration plans for Coho to some method of ensuring or providing adequate housing for people that can't afford it. I think there are probably a number of homeless plans. None of them are having much more success than wetland mitigation.
So, well, maybe instead of having a homeless plan, maybe we should enforce people's constitutional rights.
That's been said, and that's not a bad suggestion. Let's say maybe we might be better off if we all took a closer look at what human rights are, and rather than talking about enforcing people's constitutional rights, talk more about respecting people's human rights. And that's a two-way street. So,
well, what I'm getting at is, I mean, the streets, at one time or another, most of us have paid taxes, and even if you haven't, you're a citizen of the United States, and the streets are owned by the public. So don't I have a right to park on the street and live in a camper on the street?
Not in most places in this country. No. It's in most places it has become such a problem that it's not enforceable. So as long as you kind of lay low and don't attract too much attention, you probably won't have too much problem.
Well, who are the main people that are complaining about people parking on the street, do you think?
Families in residential areas where there are, where they have children and they're concerned about their children and the presence of a stranger. All the way through commercial interest, and people that have an interest in a broader sense, the finances and the property values, and there's a number of concerns about people just parking on the streets, and some of them are fairly legitimate. Yeah.
Well, do they cause more crime when there are people parking on the streets? Is there more crime in those areas?
I think if you look, what I've seen is that sometimes in some congregations of people, there is probably more crime. Other times, with congregations of people, there will be actually less crime. And
it's almost like having a watch person in your neighborhood.
It's frequently like having a watch person in your neighborhood, yeah. But
so
that takes some getting to know people too. You know, that's one of the problems is that we've become sort of standoffish in our society.
We're afraid of each other.
We're afraid of each other.
Or anybody that's different.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I'm skipping around here. And I've asked this before. And why should taxpayers pay for the homeless? Why should anybody help the homeless?
Yeah, that's I don't know. I really can't tell you why. I don't know why taxpayers should help the homeless. I don't know why one person should care about another. That's not for me to tell you, I don't think. I know that historically we're in a period where wealth and incomes are concentrating in fewer people, and for the larger masses of people are increasingly unable or are under increasing hardship to be able to meet the most basic needs of shelter and food.
I'm asking this question as from a person. The people that I hear say that are people that they've worked all their lives and they've worked for what they had, and they're concerned. They're worried, I guess, that if I help you, you're never going to get off the public dole, as they say. They're worried that you're never going to help yourself if you're constantly being helped. And it just occurs to me before you answer that, it just occurs to me that there's a statistic on welfare women that your tax dollars are not nearly, they're only like 1% of total tax revenue, I think is the figure I've heard, it goes to welfare mothers. So your taxes really don't go to...
Yeah, I think anybody that really thinks their money is being squandered on welfare needs to look closer at the federal budget.
The defense industry is, and the banks, the banking industry is the most subsidized industry there is, or the most subsidized people in America are the banks, far more than poor people. But I'm sorry, I should let you answer the questions.
Well, you're getting into some good conversation here, though, because the money that is spent, when it's done through the system, and systems are set up within government to not much in terms of the actual dollar that starts out on one end really reaches the people that have the greatest need. A lot of it is burned up by a big bureaucracy of public servants.
Red tape. Also, I believe it just as I'm ad-libbing this whole thing, so these things are occurring to me as I'm going. And Also, these people, once they get on their feet, hey, they have purchasing power. They have money now to spend in the community. So it's good. There's a reason to help someone that's poor is because they're going to be priming the pump, as Roosevelt.
John Keynes, I think,
yeah,
said
John
that.
Yeah, John Maynard Keynes. And by the way,
and that's a great point.
Keynes wanted to start from the bottom. Keynes helped people at the bottom, not help people at the top and let it trickle down. He wanted to help people at the bottom, and it was supposed to trickle up.
I think that guy was actually pretty smart. He gets
and well, yeah, it was supposed to get you, and that was how you got out of a economic downturn. Was you helped the people on the bottom, and his theories have worked in the past. What do you say to people who say, I've been at demonstrations and they drive by and they go, get a job. What do you say to people that say that?
I don't say anything.
Well, what do you, so you have no comment on that?
I have a job.
Oh, you do have a job.
I don't bake very much, but...
Well, in effect, are
I'm
you
a
saying,
minister. Actually, I'm a, I'm employed.
Well, and how difficult was it for you to get a job?
Actually, there's plenty of work now. A job meaning what is it? What is a job? Is a job something that where you're going to go and punch clock and make enough money to be a part of? I hate to say a part of the system because I don't want to not be a part of the system. I want the system to come a little bit more to its senses.
Mm-hmm. And not exploit people so much.
Was it Gandhi that said the earth has enough for everyone's need, but for no one's greed or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're, well, but I mean, what I'm getting at, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there are no jobs out there. You can't live on $6 an hour very well, or can you?
I live on less.
Okay.
I know a lot of people that work sub-minimum wage jobs because they're committed to a purpose and a work whether they just flat enjoy it or not, they believe that it's important to do the work that needs to be done. And they see the work that needs to be done. They're not looking for the money to give them some sense of security or status or to make them believe that they fit some image of success.
Mm-hmm. The image of success. Some homeless people are actually homeless because they don't want to be a part of an exploitative system. Or is that true?
I think that there's a spectrum, just like there's, and the human spectrum, if you will, is an extraordinarily broad one. So, yeah, there's everything. They're just like, there is at the other end of the economic spectrum. It's hard to put people into any one neat little mold, and that's the problem with the homeless word. The word homeless, or the homeless, that group, has some application if you're talking about a segment of the population that is without shelter. But once you go beyond that and begin to discriminate more the characteristics of that population, then you have to kind of put that word out of the picture, and then in a more discriminating manner, look at characteristics of the group that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. In other words,
does that make any sense to you?
Well, I think I understand what you're saying is that there's a lot of different type of people that are homeless.
Right.
You can't just lump them into one group, and when you do, it's almost a form of discrimination.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let me move on to Vera Kosha, who's, I'm probably going to play his interview before before this. He said he's not on any rental lists anymore. What is he talking about? Is he, I think he's talking about rental lists for low-cost housing.
Right. I would assume that's what he's talking about myself.
So you can be thrown off a rental list for low-cost housing?
You can if you have, if the property manager or whoever is the authority of that situation has some cause. There are appeals processes, and I don't know how far or if Vera Kosha has appealed his that ruling. It usually is a form of a ruling by the housing authority or whoever is the authorized agent to oversee or administer those resources. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can be 86th from public housing pretty easy these days. In fact, real easy.
And well,
you can be 86th from public housing these days for not making enough money. The public housing system in this country is being restructured to target people in the $17,000 to $25,000 a year income range.
And looking to help those people.
They're looking to help those people. Uh-huh. And if you make less than $10,000 a year, you increasingly have a more difficult time even qualifying for public housing.
Which reminds me of, what about Clinton's plan where now, if I don't have a job, do I have any medical services if I don't have a job?
I think in the state of Oregon you do. Oregon's health plan has been a real different development.
Progressive. They're fairly progressive.
Right.
So they do help you with, even if you don't have a job or money. In other words, I can go. Well, if I get hurt and I don't have a job, I can go to the. They're not going to send me away at the hospital.
I don't think. There have been. So I can't say that. There have been cases where people have been sent away from the hospital. By and large, most of the hospitals are pretty good about. They're real good about treating people. They're so good that it's become a problem because emergency care is so expensive compared to a more routine type care where you can see a doctor, make an appointment. If you go to the emergency room, it puts a great burden on that whole emergency system. And so if a more routine type of medical care were available, it would benefit us all. Yeah,
I see what you're saying. It keeps the cost down by taking care of people before they get into emergency situation. It keeps costs down.
Even if you have no other, in particular if you're homeless and you have no stable place and no resources, now we have the Eugene Service Station, so there is, you can take a shower, you can get a shower, you can get clean clothes. Mm-hmm. That's a big improvement over a few years ago. But it's hard to get medical care. The Whitebird Clinic now has the medical clinic. That's also been a big help. But if you often end up in a place, a person ends up in a place where they have a problem that could be dealt with by a physician in a physician's office, but the physician won't see them, or they don't have the wherewithal to get an appointment made and follow through with it.
Uh-huh.
And they
even
go
just
to the
a message phone even.
Right. Uh-huh. And they end up going to the emergency room for something that's not truly an emergency.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my next question. So there is a place where if I went and applied for a job, I can list this phone number where the person that I'm trying to get a job from can call me back.
Right.
That's at the service center, service station.
Right.
And you said before that they also, what else do they do at the service station for you?
It's a day access center. So it has laundry. You can take a shower. They have box lunches. There's some virtue or value in the fact that people can see other people and talk to them and know that they're all in the same boat. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It helps to have somebody empathy.
They're not, yeah, right.
And who pays for that?
It was instituted by the City of Eugene, and now the City of Eugene, the funding mechanisms in government and society are amazingly complicated things. I think now it has been picked up in the Intergovernmental Human Services budget, which is a Lane County level of operation, and then it's subsidized to a great extent by the Catholic Church.
Why do you think there is a housing shortage in Eugene and, well, in America in general, but there's especially a housing shortage in Eugene, is that correct?
I think it would be more accurate now to say there's an affordable housing shortage in Eugene.
There's houses, it's just the rent is so high.
We've been on a great boom of construction here for the last few years, and the product has been now a lot of new apartments and houses on the market. But did we get into that conversation about the increasing numbers of people making less and less and fewer and fewer really keeping up with the cost of housing and the basics? So the new apartments, new houses are more expensive, and the earning power of the people most in need of housing has been diminished significantly over the last 15 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, this brings me to my experience. I own land myself, and I tried to let somebody put their hippie bus out on my land, and the next day I was cited and would have been charged $100 a day for this to let this hippie bus sit out there. And which, if you do the math, that's $36,000 a year and change.
Pretty good rent.
And at the risk of getting into my thing, they said that, and they had a point here, is that I didn't have septic at that time. But what this caused is I had to go and take out a loan and to put septic in, so that cost me, I had to go to the bank, which cost me more money. So that, to me, makes housing more expensive. The zoning and the hoops that I have to go through to make houses makes them more expensive. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I don't know anyone that would debate that. It's about the economics of maintaining and a system. That's what that's all about.
Well, but in before we were saying that. Now, they're forcing me to be a part of the system and to spend and to use their facilities rather than come up with my own solutions.
Right. Exactly. That's the kind of the great lie about welfare reform. We want these people to become independent. But what we really mean is that we want them to get a job at or about minimum wage, so that the employer reaps the, in particular the largest employers, reap the greatest benefit, and yet they're contributing to the production. Listen to the language of the leaders in the country. You know, it's all about the United States has fallen back in its production capacity. Efficiency.
So we'll help you as long as you're a productive worker.
Right.
We'll help you. Another question just occurred to me is, what do I do? I'm homeless now, and I have just enough money to make rent, and pay for my food, but I don't have any discretion, what they call discretionary income, which means, you know, now what do I do for fun? How do I blow off steam?
Or maybe you could work overtime.
Yeah, right. Well, but no, I'm not allowed to work overtime. That's against the law, too, isn't it? I mean, by law, they have to pay me, I think, time and a half if I work overtime.
I don't know. Probably.
But, I mean, what I'm getting at is, doesn't this cause more crime? If I don't have this discretionary income, it's more likely that I'm going to get into trouble. Am I more likely to get into trouble?
Wow. Are you? You're asking me if you're more likely to get into trouble because you have no discretionary income.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm asking you, what is your experience with homeless people? Are they, do they get into more trouble when they don't have this extra income?
If we go back to trying to put such a broad cover on so many people, that's just not going to work. I know I've met people who society would figure is crazy as a loon. They have never caused anyone a stitch of trouble, and they eat blackberries and pears that fall off of trees.
Mm-hmm. So,
and
yeah,
they exist right along beside everybody else and get along, and you'd never know it.
So yeah, there's a term of what is fun for you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you. I don't think that I don't condone destructive, antisocial, what I would call antisocial behavior, justified on the grounds that you can't afford to have fun any other way. That's a lousy argument to me.
Well, I was hoping that you were going to say, you know, if we gave these people a little bit more money, there wouldn't be so much crime, is what I was trying to get at, but maybe that isn't that.
Well,
isn't
if we
true.
Gave them a little more money, they'd spend a little more money, I imagine. So I could say that much.
Yeah, it would also help, by the way, help the system. But I think I covered that already, that if you pay people more money, well, they did a study on, for General Motors, a computer study that said that if they paid people more money, that more people will buy cars and more people will be able to
buy cars.
That's
how Henry Ford built the automobile industry.
Henry Ford paid his workers enough to buy a car. But I hear what you're saying, that's how we got into the mess that we're in.
We're where we are now. So, you know, it's the road is, yeah.
What is success? Is having two cars and 2.5 kids.
There you go.
That's
right.
Where that came from. I'm not saying that. I don't mean to go that far.
Right.
Okay, and then you were telling me about...
I personally believe that we need to look at what that does mean. What is success? And how can a person have, on his share of what the world has to produce? So that's another really good question. What is my share?
Well, what do I need to be happy? What does one need
what,
to be happy?
What does
Which,
one
I
need
guess
to
that's
be happy?
A philosophical question. That
but that's the that's those are the questions. Those are the questions.
I think there is some answers there. I think we all need plants and animals around us to survive. And I think there's been studies on that we do need. There are some things that we need for survival. Privacy, for one thing.
We need a biosphere that functions.
Right.
We need an earth that's alive.
And clean drinking water. And
we need clean drinking water.
Things and clean air.
Right.
But, I mean, privacy, too. I think humans, this is what jail is about for me, is that they take away your privacy. And I think people need a little bit of privacy. And this is why some housing projects, and I should be letting you talk, but some housing projects didn't work because they're just a cubicle that somebody lives in, and that's all they have.
Architecture is an amazing thing too. You know, it's the design of how people live and think and exist in the world. And I myself have a real problem with one of the trends that exist in today's world is the development of what they call SROs or single room occupancy units as a solution to the affordable housing dilemma. it's just not in, for me, it's not in a human scale, if you will. It's inhuman.
Well, which brings me, and I'm guilty of this myself, in the 80s we called it cocooning. We would all stay at home and watch television, partly because there was just so much bad stuff going on outside. We'd all just stay in our little cocoon.
And the SRO type, the little cubicle boxes, are they do really contribute to isolationism and people just going into their little cubbyhole and drawing the curtains and closing the door and
instead of getting to know your neighbor.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of being out in the world and yeah.
And when you get to know your neighbor, well, knowledge is power. When you get to know someone, you might not be so afraid.
Right. Yeah. Might be more afraid, but I mean.
Okay.
I've got some pretty strange neighbors.
You told me that. Yeah, but personally, I like everybody to be different. I don't want everybody to be the same myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I like people that are different than me, especially. I usually learn something from them. You had your own plan that you submitted. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, this was 6 or 7 years ago when I first jumped into this thing with a great plan and just ran headlong into one cement wall after another and after another after another, and we may eventually get there, we may see it, something like what I had originally talked about actually happen. And that's something I call it generally myself, Ecos Village, but another word is campground. I try not to use the word campground because it creates an image of a recreational and experience and a physical environment that people think of when they hear campground. But something that's less resource consumptive than and less fixed in nature than a planned unit development or a subdivision or a housing project type thing, that where the first one would operate from a urban hub and you could make available particularly educational resources there. With the world that we live in today, with the communications and the multimedia capacity that exist, you can literally almost sitting on a street corner, log in to Princeton or any place and
through a phone line.
Mm-hmm. And that's growing every day. Those capacities are expanding, and for me it's imperative that we maintain the availability of that for the masses of people and make it more available, not less available, which I can almost guarantee you we're going to start to see an increasing force by more profit-minded people to raise the prices and make it more expensive, and which is going to limit access to fewer and fewer people.
Only rich people will be able to use the internet.
Right.
Well, but you said, you were telling me about that 30% of homeless people are probably that way because of alcohol or substance abuse of some kind.
The figures jump all over. If you go down to the VA and get their numbers, there's actually one figure that says of male vets that have been homeless, 97% are ultimately diagnosed with a primary condition of addiction or alcoholism. But I think it's, and then you'll hear other people that totally deny that drugs or alcohol or that perspective is even an appropriate perspective to look at. But I say that it's a fair estimate to say that alcoholism or addiction is a primary factor in about 30% of a population that you could broadly label as homeless.
And I forget what you were. So your plan was originally geared toward them.
Yeah, it was.
But it would work for all.
Well, because I'm a vet, and because I'm a Vietnam vet, and have my own little, ran my gamut with drugs and alcohol, I could see the hardships faced by people who reached the point of ending up on the street, affected in the ways that they are by drugs or alcohol. It makes it almost literally, there's an awful lot of people that die because in that place, because it's so hard to get out of.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you mind if I ask, at risk of being personal, what got you out of it?
Luck.
Did somebody come along and help you?
A lot of people have helped me. A lot of people have helped me. But I don't know that I could say that someone coming along and helping me got me out of it.
Well, I think what I'm getting at too is what replaced your alcohol or your substance abuse or whatever? I'm looking for myself. I go and volunteer and stuff. Is probably what got me out of my little substance abuse problem. That's what I'm looking for. Is there something in particular?
I think that it would be fair to say that I found a purpose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm getting at with lifestyles and stuff like that. If people had a purpose or felt that they were productive members of society.
Yeah, I think that's important, but I don't know how to give that to somebody. I think that what we can do, though, is create an environment that more nurtures
where you
that
find
ability.
Something like that. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean by you need more than just a house and clothes and food.
Right.
I need to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
To be happy. Okay. Is there anything else you want to say to wrap this up? Otherwise, do you feel that there's? Do you think there's hope? Do you have hope?
Sure.
Sure.
I have. You have to have hope.
You think we're going to win the battle for the homeless?
It's not a war. It's not a war. So, I don't want to see winners and losers. I want to see a better world tomorrow than there was yesterday.
And do you think we're headed towards that?
That's where the hope is.
And you think it can be done?
Yeah. Yeah. It can be done.
All right, Tom Musselwhite, thank you from the Homeless Coalition.
You bet.
KEPW 97.3 FM, low power FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org.
Just to let us know. And me, ooh, I'm getting stronger by the minute. My wife's expecting, but I hope she can wait. 'Cause this winter looks like it's gonna be another bad one. But spring is soon to hear. God, I hope it's not late.
I want some more.